Today, shock and awe, the property imperative daily for the 16th of March 2020. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Given the current market gyrations, we're going to examine the latest critical data each day because a week is a long time in politics, but a lifetime on the markets at the moment. The day started with the announcement from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. They cut the official cash rate to 0.25%, reduced from 1%. And they said it will remain at this level for at least the next 12 months. And they said also that the committee agreed that should further stimulus be required, a large-scale asset purchase program of New Zealand government bonds would be preferable to further OCR reductions. And so they have also signalled the likelihood of QE to follow. They said the negative impact on the New Zealand economy is and will continue to be significant. Demand for New Zealand goods and services will be constrained, as will domestic production. Spending and investment will be subdued for an extended period while the responses to the virus evolve. And the Reserve Bank also announced additional measures to support the provision of credit and market functioning. The bank decided to delay the start of increased capital requirements for banks by 12 months to the 1st of July 2021. They said deferring the capital framework implementation provides banks with significant capital headroom. And this headroom will enable banks to supply up to around 47 billion New Zealand dollars more lending than would have been the case had the decisions been implemented as planned. And the Reserve Bank is also currently identifying other regulatory initiatives that can be deferred to reduce the burden on financial institutions at this time of uncertainty. And these will be announced in coming days. And the Reserve Bank is also working closely with the Council of Financial Regulators and international regulators, and they also reduced the returns to banks held at the Reserve Bank by 50 basis points or 0.5%, as well as reducing the pricing of other facilities, including the bond lending facility. And they also said they would provide additional market liquidity via term auction facilities, which can provide collateralized loans out to 12 months. This facility was previously provided from 2008 to 2010, and this was aimed to reduce the rate of New Zealand government bonds. Almost as soon as the press conference from New Zealand finished, the Fed also cut rates by 1% to close to 0%, like they'd done at the time of the GFC. In addition, the Federal Reserve on Sunday announced that it would purchase $700 billion worth of bonds and securities to stabilise financial markets and support the economy. They said that the emergency rate cut and the push to flood the Treasury bond market with liquidity comes as the virus pandemic forces businesses across the US and the world to shutter, likely plunging the global economy into a recession. And this was part of a coordinated global response. The Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan, and the Central European Bank, and the Federal Reserve, and the Swiss National Bank are announcing a coordinated action to provide the provision of liquidity via the standing US dollar liquidity swap line arrangements. These central banks have agreed to lower the pricing on standing US dollar liquidity swap arrangements by 25 basis points so that the new rate will be the US dollar overnight index swap rate plus 25 basis points. And they said also that the Federal Reserve is prepared to use its full range of tools to support the flow of credit to households and businesses and thereby promote its maximum employment and price stability goals. To support the smooth functioning of markets for Treasury securities and agency mortgage-backed securities that are central to the flow of credit to households and businesses, over the coming months, the committee will increase its holdings of Treasury securities by at least $500 billion and its holdings of agency mortgage-backed securities by at least $200 billion. And Chair Jerome Powell's announcement this morning spooked the US markets, with the futures price falling 5% and activating a trading halt on the S&P 500 futures. The raft of announcements scared the markets, and it suggests a weak opening in the US later. There are some severe cracks opening up in the financial system, with Treasury pricing haywire, and the Fed's initial massive repo sale undersubscribed and direct liquidity support ineffective. Of course, They want to shore up the financial markets. And he was at pains in the press conference, by telephone by the way, to underscore how well capitalized the banks are and that negative rates are not coming. But it's worth also noting that the Fed slashed the interest on excess reserves that it pays the banks for parking their cash at the Fed to 0.10%, effective from Monday. Back in the heady days of 2019, the Fed paid the banks $34 billion in interest on reserves. This income just went away. And US bank shares are under pressure. The Bank of America, Bank of New York Mellon, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, State Street, and Wells Fargo, in a statement via the Financial Services Forum, said that they agreed to temporarily suspend share buybacks for the remainder of the first quarter and through the second quarter of 2020. The decision on buybacks is consistent with our collective objective to use our significant capital and liquidity to provide maximum support to individuals, small businesses, and the broader economy through lending and other important services, the group wrote, citing the virus pandemic as an unprecedented challenge. Now, let me just make the point. All of this is definitely supporting the financial markets, but I fail to see how it translates to direct support for businesses and households. And that, to my mind, is where the focus needs to be, because many people will suddenly be out of work, will not be earning, and therefore will be unable to pay their bills. Somehow, I don't think the dots have been joined. Anyway, then here in Australia, the financial services sector index was down around 4%, but rising from opening lows. And understand that the Fed's actions and other central banks are not about supporting stock prices, as they are determined more by prospective future cash flows from business operations than anything else. And there's a lot of rubbish in the media on this point. The Fed is not trying to save the stock market, but bond rates are another matter. Given the hike in bond rates we saw last week, which translates to higher interest bills and funding issues, the T10 and 3-month US rates dropped after the Fed announcement. T10 was down about 24% and the 3-month dropped 50%. Now the question is, will this be enough to sustain lower bond rates? We think not. So watch for more action to try and control rates. And by the way, Aussie bonds also came down, with the 10-year down 13% and the 2-year down 20%. And the Australian market was 4% lower on opening today, despite the various actions from central banks and other regulatory agencies. Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, has been underscoring the resilience of the financial system and the power of the tools available, and said that the undersubscribed repo strategy they executed last week showed they needed to purchase securities direct. But given the market reaction, they then needed to act aggressively to support liquidity beyond that, hence the rate cut decision. And here in Australia, the Council of Financial Regulators, the coordinating body for Australia's main financial regulatory agency, said that as Australia's financial system adjusts to the virus threat, financial regulators and the Australian government are working closely together to ensure that Australia's financial markets continue to operate effectively and that credit is still available to households and businesses. Australia's financial system is resilient, they said, and is well placed to deal with the effects of the virus. The banking system is well capitalized and is in a strong liquidity position. Substantial financial buffers are available to be drawn down if required to support the economy. The funding position of the banking system is strong, and Australia's financial institutions, market participants and market infrastructure providers have undertaken substantial investments in their operational capability to deal with the effects of the virus. At the same time, trading liquidity has deteriorated in some markets and financial institutions are having to adjust to a more volatile environment. The financial regulators are in regular contact with financial institutions, market participants and market infrastructure providers. And the RBA is continuing to support the liquidity of the system. As part of this support, it will be conducting 1-month and 3-month repurchase or repo operations until further notice. In addition, it will conduct repo operations of 6-month maturity or longer, at least weekly, as long as market conditions warrant. And the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority, APRA, is ensuring banking institutions are pre-positioning themselves to take advantage of the RBA's supportive measures. Given the disruption being caused by the virus, council members are examining how the timing of regulatory initiatives might be adjusted to allow financial institutions to concentrate on their businesses and assist their customers. It looks like they'll reduce capital later. APRA and ASIC acknowledge that the importance of the continued flow of credit to affected customers and industries in the current environment. Banks and other lenders are therefore encouraged to work constructively with affected customers during any period of disruption. For their part, APRA and ASIC will take account of the circumstances in which lenders acting responsibly are currently operating during prevailing circumstances when administrating their respective laws and regulations. Both agencies also stand ready to deal with problems firms may encounter in complying with the law due to the impact of the virus through a facilitative and constructive approach. In particular, each agency will, where warranted, provide relief or waivers from regulatory requirements. This includes requirements on listed companies associated with secondary capital raisings, annual general meetings, and audits. And ASIC will also work with financial institutions to further accelerate the payment of outstanding remediation to customers as soon as possible. The Council is meeting with major lenders later this week to discuss how they can best support households and businesses through this challenging period. And the Council will be emphasising the importance of a continuing supply of credit, particularly to small businesses. It will also be discussing with the lenders whether there are impediments to lending that Council members could help to address. The members of the Council of Financial Regulators remain in close contact with one another and with the Australian government and their international peers, and the Council will have its regularly quarterly meeting on Friday the 20th of March, at which time the impact of the virus on the financial system will be further discussed. And the Council and the Australian Treasurer are also holding teleconference at least weekly. So let's just think about that. What they're basically doing is giving the banks plenty of elastic to try and help support customers. That means potentially going outside lending obligations, disclosures, and other factors. This is unprecedented. And then the RBA said, as Australia's financial system adjusts to the virus, financial regulators and the Australian government are working closely together to help ensure that Australia's financial markets continue to operate effectively and that credit is available to households and businesses. And they underscored again that Australia's financial system is resilient and it is well placed to deal with the effects of the virus. At the same time, trading liquidity has deteriorated in some markets. In response, the Reserve Bank stands ready to purchase Australian government bonds in the secondary market to support the smooth functioning of that market, which is a key pricing benchmark for the Australian financial system. The bank will also be conducting 1 month and 3 month repo operations in its daily market operations until further notice to provide liquidity to Australian financial markets. In addition, the bank will conduct longer term repo operations of 6 months maturity or longer, at least weekly for as long as market conditions warrant. The Reserve Bank and the AOFM are in close liaison in monitoring market conditions and supporting continued functioning of the market. And they said the bank will announce further policy measures to support the Australian economy on Thursday. Now, I'm expecting that they will cut the cash rate to 0.25%, and they'll also announce the start of formal quantitative easing to go alongside the repo operations that are already running. But I have to say, I think the approach seems too weak compared to what other central banks have done. And elsewhere, ASIC said, as part of the Australian government's response to the virus, ASIC has taken steps to ensure Australia's equity markets remain resilient. Australian equity markets have seen record trading volumes in the last 2 weeks. ASIC, along with the other Council of Financial Regulator agencies, have been closely monitoring financial markets to ensure that they remain fair and orderly. Australian markets have been strong and resilient over this period, and this action is preemptive and intended to maintain these high standards. In addition to increasing volumes, Australian equity markets have seen exponential increases in the number of trades executed, with a particularly large increase in trade last Friday, the 13th of March. While there was no disruption to market operations on Friday, there was a significant backlog of work required to be undertaken over the weekend by the exchanges and trading participants. If the number of trades continues to execute at this rate, it will put strain on the processing and risk management capabilities of market infrastructure and market participants. Accordingly, ASIC has issued directions under the ASIC market integrity rules to a number of large equity market participants, requiring those participants to limit the number of trades executed each day until further notice. These directions require those firms to reduce their number of executed trades by up to 25% from the levels executed on Friday. This action will require high-volume participants and their clients to actively manage their volumes. We do not expect these limits to impact the ability of retail consumers to execute trades, and ASIC will continue to closely monitor market conditions and take actions where needed to ensure markets remain open and orderly. Meanwhile, the AFR reported that the federal government is working on a second virus stimulus package that could be rolled out within days. The Australian Institute attacked the Morrison government's first economic stimulus package as being the right sort of size but poorly targeted, saying it should be directed more at households than businesses. But less than a week after the unveiling of the $17.6 billion package to try to save business and boost consumption, the crisis has worsened to such an extent that a second round is deemed to be urgent. It is understood the new economic measures will be more about support than stimulus and will target both businesses and households. Better luck second time around. And the banks are in a bit of a pickle, according to Banking Day, who said that Macquarie Bank has joined National Australia Bank in withdrawing hybrid security offers, with both citing market volatility and its likely impact on the price of the notes once they're listed. Macquarie withdrew its $500 million offer of Macquarie Capital Notes 2, which it had launched on February the 11th, saying it made the decision in the light of significant change market conditions in recent weeks. And NAB launched a hybrid offer, NAB Capital Notes 4, on February the 25th, seeking $1.9 billion of capital. In its statement, NAB said market conditions have changed substantially since the offer was launched and that the ongoing market volatility would be likely to impact on the trading value of the notes. Both banks will refund all the monies raised. And both banks also said that they would repay investors in old capital notes issued that had reached their call dates. And both banks emphasised that their capital positions were strong. Macquarie Group said that it had surplus capital of $5.8 billion at the 31st of December. And Macquarie Bank's Common Tier 1 equity ratio was 14.2% on an harmonised basis and 11.4% on an APRA basis. And NAB said at the 31st of December, it has common equity tier 1 capital of 10.8%. Hybrid securities have become popular with retail investors in recent years because they are issued by banks in the main and offer relatively high yields. The withdrawal of these offers may prompt investors to reconsider the risks involved in such investments. NAB was offering a margin of 2.95% above the bank bill rate on its capital notes, and Macquarie was offering a margin of 2.9% over bills on its issue. And also, more than $7 billion in mortgage-backed and asset-backed securities will be withdrawn from the market this week, NAB and AMP Bank among them. The secondary market for bank and structured debt was in a shocking state on Friday, and the Reserve Bank New Zealand's cut in the cash rate to 0.25% from 0.5% was a bit of a surprise, confirming rather than calming the foreboding in the capital markets following a weekend of wretched news on the surging pandemic. Perhaps the central bank's shock and awe may assist in credit pricing if it sticks. Now, the markets closed weaker today and bond rates fell hard. So the ASX 100 closed down 9.74% today at 4,153. The Financial Services Index fell 11.1% to close at 4,196. And the Volatility Index rose to 42.33. ANZ was down 10.27% to 1687. CBA was down 7.87% to 6113. NAB was down 10.24% to 1652. And Westpac was down 9.49% to 1640. And the regionals fared fairly badly, with Bank of Queensland down 11.48% to 532. Bendigo and Adelaide Bank was down 9.2% to 612. Suncorp was down 8.18% to 887. and Macquarie was down 9.74% to 105.14. AMP was down 3.6% to 134, and Genworth Mortgage Insurance was up 0.48% to 210, whereas McGrath Real Estates was down 6.98% to 20 cents. And Yellow Brick Road was down 15.71 to 5.9 cents. AFG, the mortgage aggregator, was down 18.64% to 144, and Mortgage Choice was down 2.67% to 73 cents. The Aussie US dollar was down 0.21% to 61.69. The Euro Aussie dollar was down 0.31% to 1.80. The 2-year Aussie bond was up 1.3% to 50.7 cents, whilst the Aussie 10-year bond was up 1.09% to 83.3 cents. The gold Aussie cross was up 1.18% to 2,501. And the Aussie Bitcoin cross was up 0.86% to 8,614. So it's been a wild old ride on the markets today. If you had any doubt that we are facing a genuine financial crisis, think again, because today's events underscore that we are definitely facing into the gale. And finally, a quick reminder, tomorrow at 8 p.m. Sydney time, we run our next live stream event. We'll look at the latest developments, update our scenarios, and answer questions from viewers either direct on the live chat or via the DFA blog if you want to send them in beforehand. The links are in the comments below. But I need to underscore that we are in unprecedented territory. This is a financial crisis, and my own view is that things are going to get worse, way worse, before they get better. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.